Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us in our window on the world today as we update our vocabulary with news clips from around the world. Thanks for joining with us. Today, in our advanced team, we have some very interesting panelists. We're studying our article on pages 34 and 35, 36, the news clips. Today, it's page 35. And guess who we have with us? We have Bill, one of our favorite panelists. How are you today, Bill?
I'm good, Doris, and thank you for describing me as interesting. But even more interesting is our newsworthy clip for today, and we're going to talk about some studies that are taking a look at autism and genetic variations.
Well, Bill, I think in an article like this, even the teachers had to do quite a bit of studying. Don't you think so?
We did a lot of studying, and as I was talking about, Doris, I had to search the internet last night as I was preparing for this to try and understand some of the terms here today.
Well, I'm going to give you a chance to explain them to all the people listening in. And then we have our teacher, Winnie, with us. How are you today, Winnie?
I'm good. Hello, Doris. Hello, listeners. Glad to be here.
Winnie, if you taught school like in New York and different places, did you find any students with autism in your classes sometimes?
They were not in my classes directly, but my school did have a special department for students with maybe some disabilities, and I got to interact with some of them, and they're just lovely.
Well, we're glad to have one of our persons from Studio Classroom staff with us today, and he's also a kindergartner grade school teacher, Simon Stops. Welcome, Simon. Let's welcome to our class.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah, it's great to be back here on Advanced Radio. I haven't been with you for a few months now anyway, and so I'm looking forward to today's discussion.
Good, Simon. And Simon, you do some teaching with kindergarten children sometimes, right?
I do kindergarten and elementary school.
Now, have you found that now and then there'll be some child with autism that gets in some of your classes or not?
Like Winnie, I haven't actually had students that were autistic, but I've come across them in my various schools, yeah.
You know, Doris, it's interesting you'd ask that question because I found when I was teaching young children too, I didn't have autistic children, but what I did have was children that might have had ADD or ADHD. That's attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyperactive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not quite the same as autism, but there's still some genetic problems or probably some chemical problems that affect their behavior.
Well, you know, in advance, we try to update our vocabulary, and some of these words we'll probably read about, but I doubt if we'll be using them a lot in our speech. But when we hear about them, we would like to know what these words mean. And some words are good words that we can keep in our vocabulary because, like, we have words like frustratingly, which is to be frustrated. And we have some very common words we can use besides these medical terms. Maybe the medical terms will be something that you won't be speaking about or using, but you'll know what they are. And I think autism is a subject that's been on. It's been on Larry King Live on TV. We've had people in the news in many different times talking about the subject. So it's a very common subject that people talk about today. Are there very many autistic children in the world?
Well, I think what's interesting is that in the United States, at least, we find that there's a trend where more and more students or younger children are developing autism, or maybe some people might not find out about it until a little later on. But it is actually increasing as we speak, I think, the rate.
It's also important to remember that with disorders like autism, there's a wide range of degrees of severity, meaning some people might have it, but you wouldn't really notice. Mm-hmm. Other people have it very severely, and so you're really aware of it when you meet them. And so it could well be that in some places, as people become more aware of what autism is, they become more in tune to finding people who have autism.
Yes, perhaps they had it before and they didn't know what to call it. It's hard to say, really, but it does seem like there's more people, and they're trying to find out why, whether that's a fact or not, but it does seem like there are more and more children that have that now. but we don't know exactly why. But we're going to find out more about it. The study finds common genetic variations among people with autism. Now, genetic variations, that's a very, very big subject, and I think there's a lot of genetic variations in the world.
Right. Well, our DNA is made up of our genes in our body, Doris, that actually dictate the structure of the cells throughout our entire body. And it's very easy for us to have a slight variation or a slight, we might say, a defect or something that's a little bit different that ends up causing something in our body to not develop fully. So, and it might have to do with our hearing, with our sight, with any part of our body. That's what we would call genetic variation.
So we're going to just talk a little bit about this. Let's take the first two paragraphs. You might read out loud with us. That will help you remember the words, help your pronunciation and your vocabulary. So let's start reading now on page 35, the very beginning, down through line 21.
Study finds common genetic variations among people with autism. Researchers have found that many people with autism share common genetic variations, a discovery that may improve diagnosis and offers the promise of developing treatments for the frustratingly mysterious disorder. Their findings, published in the journal Nature, compared the genomes of thousands of autistic people to those of thousands of people without the disorder, a massive task that new technology has only recently made possible. The genome is the complex system of DNA coding that builds and runs the human body. The review showed that most autistic people have a genetic variation in a portion of their DNA that affects the way brain cells connect with one another. Scientists also reported a link between autism and small mistakes in another DNA segment involved with cell communication. Both reports add weight to the idea that autism is related to problems with the way brain cells connect.
When they try to find out why people have certain things, they take a lot of tests and they examine people and they say, well, now they have this common thing, that they all have this in common. So when autism, they've tried to say, what kind of genes do they have? So we can diagnose this a little better, because like Simon said, actually there's different degrees of this. And so they try to improve the way we can diagnose it. Does this person really have autism, or is it something else?
Well, what we see here, that they're able to take a look at a larger group, and they find what they're learning here is their sharing of common genetic variations. I'm actually reminded here, right in the beginning, of a story we did last month. It was our fourth article of the month, The Doctor of the Future, and they talked about bringing together a larger database of patients. And what they can find out from having this larger database is that diseases that we thought were not common are actually more common than we realize, and that's what's happening here.
That's right. In a lot of ways, we're living in a very exciting time. They recently completed that Human Genome Project, mm-hmm. right, where they created like a library of what a normal human DNA set would look like.
Do you think yours is normal, Simon?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think it is.
I think we would be hard-pressed to find anybody who didn't have
a
genetic
variation. Right.
It's one of those things that makes us all different,
right?
We all look different.
But they do try to find out, you know, especially if you have something wrong with you, some kind of a disease or a handicap. And it's quite frustrating, actually, for the doctors to say, well, what really causes this? I don't think the doctors actually can put their finger right on it right now. They can't tell you exactly, can they?
I don't think they can. And you can sort of appreciate why it's so frustrating for parents of autistic children and mm-hmm. doctors who are trying to treat them, especially when, you know, perhaps with one person who has autism, one sort of form of treatment might seem to help. But with another person with autism, that form of treatment doesn't help at all.
Mm-hmm.
And what they also find is that the causes to these disorders are so different. So they might have one study where they think one research is successful, and in the others, it would be completely different. And so this is what makes it so frustrating for scientists and, like Simon said, for the parents as well.
You know, when people have babies, it used to be more like they'd say, oh, I hope I have a boy, or I hope I have a girl, or whatever it is. And now I think if you could say, I hope when our baby is born that it's going to be normal, that it won't have any of these genetic variations. If a baby is born and it's normal and it has nothing wrong with it, you can be very thankful. Never mind if it's a boy or a girl. You just hope that the baby will have good genes. Isn't that more important than whether it's a boy or a girl?
Right, just that they're healthy, whether it is a boy or girl. So, and what we're talking about here is how the doctors can improve their diagnosis. The diagnosis is when they take a look at something and then they say, okay, this is what the problem is. So that's what that word means.
When they're talking about, technology's made some of these things possible right now to study more of these autistic people. And what does it tell us about that in line 11? Can you explain that a little bit to us, Simon?
Yeah. In line 11, it says, the genome is the complex system of DNA coding that builds and runs the human body. And I think the confusing part of that is the last part of the sentence where it says, the DNA coding that builds and runs the human body. And so to understand this sentence, you have to understand a little bit about the way DNA works. DNA is made up of four different chemicals, and the chemicals, they're called nucleotides. They're put together in a different order. And depending
on four of them, right?
Just four of them. Mm-hmm. And they're combined in different ways to make what really is a code. And that's why we use this word DNA coding, because it's a code and your body interprets it. And when it interprets it, it creates things like proteins and other parts of your body.
The genome, maybe some of our listeners have seen a graphic or a picture of what a genome looks like. Not a picture, but a drawing. We don't have pictures. It's too small. But it's those two belt-like looking things that are like twisted. And that is the DNA genome.
That's sounds right. Like you did your homework, Bill.
Well, I knew Simon was going to be here, so right. I figured I better be ready.
But this review showed that most autistic people have this different kind of like a genetic variation, something that's different in part of their DNA. So that affects the way that the brain cells connect with one another. And a lot of the things about cells, brain cells are very, very important, of course. This is why they always tell young people not to drink and things like that, because when you drink liquor and those things, it destroys some things in your brain cells. It kills some brain cells, and we certainly need all the brain cells we have. You're not just saying, oh, well, I might get drunk, but you might kill your brain cells. So who wants to kill them? I need all my brain cells, don't you?
I do.
And so we have to tell young people, you have to keep yourself healthy and not do things like don't go on to dope, don't do a lot of drinking, because you'll be killing your brain cells and you're going to be sorry later. Not only you, but you might pass that on to your children. And so a lot of people will suffer from that. That's why it's very important to live a different kind of a life so that you can be healthy. Isn't that right?
I think it is.
We had actually done an article on that, Doris, before, and how the brain cells actually are still growing up until our early 20s. So it's not just as a young child we need to be careful and parents need to be careful, but ourselves we need to be careful as far as
teenagers.
Not consuming teenagers in early 20s, university students not consuming too much alcohol or smoking cigarettes or doing drugs.
Well, in addition to the way that you live, I think what they're saying here is when you are born, the DNA that you are born with can also influence the way that your brain cells work.
Oh, definitely.
So
right.
That's what they're saying here, that if you're born with the genes that say, oh, your brains are not sending the right signals or messages to each other, then that is something that will cause autism.
They cannot connect together. Mm-hmm. And scientists say that they make small mistakes in the DNA segment involved with cell communication. Now, we talk about talking with other people, having communication. We don't think about our cells communicating, I need more oxygen, I need more blood or something. Here's your cells, and they're communicating with each other all day. That's kind of scary.
I guess it is kind of scary, actually.
Well, looking at these small mistakes, it's amazing what a tiny mistake in DNA can actually create in somebody's behavior. And for instance, I'm thinking of like Tourette's syndrome is one behavior that people have where they can't control what they say sometimes. And that's actually the result of just a tiny, tiny mistake in their genome as far as their DNA, and it actually creates this behavior that is actually antisocial. So that's a good example of how big the impact can be on these small mistakes.
Well, can the doctors find out what that little thing is and then change that by injecting something in and twisting it around? And can they fool around and manipulate those or not?
Well, I think that's possible, but they call that gene therapy. But that isn't very well developed right now. I think it's important to note that when your body is interpreting the DNA, it's doing it and then it's making small proteins and chemicals you need in your body. So if there's a mistake in the DNA, it means maybe there's something wrong with one of these proteins or chemicals. They don't work properly.
But can food or anything help that? Or what can change it?
The idea would be that maybe you would come up with a medicine mm-hmm. that you could inject that would replace those things that are missing because of this DNA problem. And so the person could just regularly inject or take this medicine that would replace the thing that their body is unable to produce itself.
That's quite a big challenge, though, for the medical society, isn't it?
That's right. And I've also read research that a lot of scientists nowadays are thinking of going back to the womb when a baby is actually still in their mom's placenta, and they're trying to figure out, well, what are the genes already from the very beginning, and what can we do about it from the very, very beginning?
You're asking the question, Doris, that is really at the center of all of this. And I go back up to line 3 and 4 as far as improving diagnosis and offers the promise of developing treatment. And that's exactly the question you're asking. That's why they're comparing the thousands of autistic patients with the thousands of people with normal DNA. That's what they're trying to figure out. Where's the problem and how can we target a medicine? And actually, we're going to talk about that a little bit more in our next reading.
Right. In fact, these reports that we've been mentioning, the research that's been done adds weight to or makes it more important, actually, to the idea that autism itself is related mostly to problems with the way the brain cells connect. The brain cells are there, but they cannot get the right connection, so they can't do what they should do to help you live a normal life. So the brain cells connecting is very important, isn't it?
That's right. And again, the importance of understanding what the variations are in the DNA is that there's probably all kinds of different ways that communication between cells can break down. And so knowing very specifically what is missing or what is going wrong gives you a much better chance of being able to treat it effectively.
Well, I say it's wonderful that people are studying all that, and it takes very scientific minds to even think about it, doesn't it?
Well, this is the advances in medical technology. You think about this, 20 years ago, we didn't have the equipment that could even look at DNA as far as taking a look at these genomes.
Right.
So now it's available, and who knows, 10, 20 years from now, it'll get even smaller what we can see.
Well, let's finish this article and see if we can get any more help for these people who have autism. Let's read the rest of the article starting in line 22.
Up to now, the medical community could say very little about what causes autism or how to treat it. The lack of scientific knowledge about autism has led to a proliferation of pseudoscientific explanations for the disorder, as well as unproven treatments that are often costly and sometimes unsafe. Though this is not the first time geneticists have found a link between autism and DNA, past discoveries have involved extremely rare instances where a tiny bit of DNA was missing, or there were too many copies of another bit. By contrast, the new research is a big step, said Tom Lehner, chief of the genomics research branch at the National Institute of Mental Health. It opens up biology. With biology, you can find drug targets. Understanding the molecular networks, this is the big importance of these findings.
So for the rest of the article, we're talking about up until now. Right till now, the medical community couldn't say very much about how to treat it. And the reason was the lack of scientific knowledge. And because there wasn't very much knowledge, what actually happens then? When there's not too much knowledge, do people do a lot of guesswork then?
Well, they do. On line 25 there, it says there was a proliferation of pseudoscientific explanations. And what that really means is all kinds of people were coming up with all kinds of different ideas about why this was going on, what was happening. And the ideas that they were coming up with were maybe based a little bit on science, but were not really using the scientific method to come to clear conclusions.
So do you think that that word pseudoscientific would be a good one for us to really know more about and keep in our vocabulary? I think
well,
we should.
Well, especially the prefix pseudo. Mm-hmm. We use it a lot in English when we're trying to say sort of something.
Which
so
is not quite
pseudoscientific,
accurate, right?
Sort of scientific. We might say pseudo-official, mm-hmm. which means sort of official from the government.
Not by fund, not 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Right, and proliferation is actually a word our listeners can
yes.
use also.
Mm-hmm.
That means something that is very widespread. There's a lot of so, mm-hmm. and we might say the rumors proliferated during the campaign or something, the election. So.
Well, I think the Internet has got a lot of this pseudoscientific things about how to lose weight or how to do this or how to do – and you can buy this and buy that and certain things help you. There's a lot of pseudoscientific news going around on the web, don't you think?
A lot of magic cures.
Yeah.
We're talking about this spreading of these ideas of what causes autism. And actually, Winnie had a really good example we talked about during the break.
Yeah, there were some rumors, and I think this was based on a book that someone wrote. I forget who, but it's the idea that autism might be caused by the vaccines that a lot of babies get when they're first born. And it's pseudoscientific because the science and the research is not absolutely there, but many people are starting to believe it.
So then they might not get certain vaccinations that they need to keep other sicknesses from coming. So that could be dangerous too.
That's right. And there actually our article here mentions some of the other dangers in addition to this idea of scaring people away from things that are actually good for them. We have written here that there are unproven treatments that are often costly and sometimes unsafe. And so if people hear that something has caused their problem, maybe they'll try to fix it, but they'll try to fix it in a dangerous way.
That's true, and it's very costly sometimes, and it is often unsafe. It will harm some other part of your body.
Well, what's happening here, Doris, is before the idea was that autism is caused by the DNA that comes from the mother and father. Now the proliferation of pseudoscientific explanations and saying, oh, well, after birth, then these other chemicals or substances can cause autism. So it's kind of a shift in the belief of what causes autism. There's no real concrete proof that this is what causes it. So then you've got all these unproven treatments or people are saying, well, now we can cure it by doing different things. And none of it is all proven.
Until this study, Bill.
But
now we know.
But remember, it goes on to say this is not the first time that the people who study genes, these geneticists are the ones who study the genes, it's not the first time they found this link between your autism and DNA. But sometimes in the past, they've found just things that maybe a tiny bit of DNA was missing or too many copies of one bit and so forth. But by contrast, this new research is a big step. What about the big step research?
Well, as you know, everybody has genetic variations, right? Some people lose their hair as they're getting older. Some people don't. These are genetic variations. And so in the past, when they've looked at people with autism and their DNA, they've looked for things that were variations. But maybe what they didn't do was look at a large group of people with autism mm-hmm. and see if they had the same variations. And that's what they've really done this time. So they're looking at what variations are common among people with autism.
Good way of putting this, we got the alphabet, right? A through Z. And normal people have A through Z. And what this study is trying to identify is, wow, maybe everybody with autism is missing the letter W.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're saying in this.
Right. And they have these research branches in the National Institute of Mental Health and so forth. But they said it opens up biology. I think, Simon, you studied biology.
I did, yeah.
Well, what can you find that? It says with biology, you can find drug targets.
Well, the idea, again, just what we were talking about before, is that when you know what part of the DNA has problems, what's missing. You can find out what ends up missing in the body, what proteins aren't working properly, what chemicals are missing. And so once you know specifically what is causing the problem, you can seek to treat it specifically.
Well, we have to understand this molecular networks, but in understanding molecular networks, you have to know what they are, Bill. So how can we understand them unless we know what a molecular network is? Can you tell us?
Well, the molecular networks, here's how it breaks down, Doris. Our body is made up, the smallest part are atoms. Atoms come together and create molecules, and then molecules actually group together and become cells. So the molecular networks actually make the cells in our body, which actually create the organs in our body. So these are like the tiny building blocks of our body, and they're trying to understand what's missing in those tiny building blocks. So what's the little part missing in the molecules?
Well, probably, Sam, if you went back to school today, you'd find some new things in the biology books that you studied before, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. I would hope so, because I studied a long, long time ago.
You know, that's why, you know, they have to keep changing things. That's why we're glad for things on the web that are authentic. We just have to get them from the good resources, from good medical resources. Don't just get them from some people's advertisements.
That's right, or from your neighbor.
From your neighbor, that's right.
Or your email forwards.
Your email forwards,
yeah.
Right. Well, it's been a difficult article in some ways, but it's very important because we need to study things about the sicknesses or difficulties or problems that people have so that we can help people live better lives. So don't get too frustrated in this. Just learn the things that you can learn and be very careful that you don't get taken in by too many pseudo-scientific explanations for things going on.
Thanks for joining us.
It's been great being with you today.
Thank you, Simon.
And Bill.
This is Winnie.
And Doris saying goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.